We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Download that Odyssey app, favorite 95.7 The Game. Anything you miss, you can find it right there. You can take us with you wherever you may be. Powered by DuckDuckGo, privacy simplified. And just to stay on the topic of corner for a while, not to make another man's terrible afternoon a benefit to you, but look, pardon me. Let's just say we do reach event horizon here and you are desperate for a cornerback. Richard Sherman could be a break in case of emergency phone call at some point that other teams would be more reluctant to make because of the terrible offseason that he had. So I don't want to say that Richard Sherman's bad night might come to work in the 49ers' favor eventually, but I could also see a scenario where that happens. Because the Niners aren't the only team that's going to get an injury to their secondary. I mean, it's going to happen around the NFL. And you figure that if Richard Sherman hadn't had the bad night, there's a very good chance that, you know, 12 teams would have called him. Maybe now it's only four or five, or not even that many. Maybe Richard wouldn't want to go anywhere where he doesn't have some house credit already in the building. So we'll see. We'll see. It's not a backup plan that needs to be explored now. Obviously, Richard's got to get his own life together before he tries to help anybody's football team. He needs to help himself. But that is a, all right, we're at DEFCON 1. It's emergency time scenario that I think exists more for the 49ers than it does for other teams.
Well, and Kyle already said they were in touch. So yeah. My instinct is if Richard was ready, we'd have heard his name this week and not Dre Kirkpatrick's. So my guess is he's still working on getting himself together, which obviously I think we can all agree is far more important.
It's the priority. There is,
and it's more comforting, quite frankly, because based on what little we know, it sounds like his issues have been longstanding and serious for a great deal of time. So I think, you know, it just, to me, it would feel like it's too early for that. You know, he's got way more plates in the air than playing football again.
There's an awful lot of offense to be seen in Detroit. So much so it actually got into a realm of haven't seen that in a very, very long time. The last time the Niners had a passer go for over 300 with a wide receiver over a hunch and a running back over a hunch, like, it doesn't sound like there would be several seasons in between that scenario. So today, your quarterback threw for over 300, which means somebody in that receiver core had over 100 yards just by default right there. And then the running back, because, you know, the passing game was going so well, there was an element of a lot of space to operate in. So your running back also had a really nice day too. And with all the talent that the 49ers have at these three positions historically, yada, yada, yada. So the last time the 49ers had a 300-yard passer, 100-yard receiver, 100-yard rusher in a single game was, you know, obviously last week in Detroit, thanks to Elijah Mitchell living up to his end of the bargain. The last time before that had happened? 2012. I can't believe in the world that we live in now where it's just, hey, offense, do whatever you want at all times and the referees will help you do it too. I can't believe it's been that long. The last time that happened was Alex Smith, Frank Gore, of course.
Uh-oh. Hold on. Wait. 2012, 100-yard receiver. God, was it Crabtree?
It was Michael Crabtree, and just for a little cherry on top, Vernon Davis in the same game also had a hunch in the air. So, yeah, that was just a big
afternoon. On the receiving end of that?
Buffalo. 45-3 was your final that day.
Nice.
That was the no one around here has ever even heard of Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills yet. That was a long time ago.
Not sure they'd heard of Thurman Thomas and Jim Kelly either.
Yeah, that's before the Bills realized the curative powers of the University of Wyoming quarterbacking tree.
That is crazy. Wyoming quarterbacks taking over this league.
Well, North Dakota State quarterbacks taking over this league, too.
Not yet. Not as long as Jimmy can Heisman him. And look, I said this yesterday. Matt, while you were out atoning, and we had Jimmy Garoppolo, for the first time, publicly kind of push back on, like, yeah, I'm a great teammate, and I absolutely love Trey Lance, and yeah, coming out of a game is fantastic, especially when you get a team into the red zone, and I totally wanted the guy behind me to throw the first touchdown of the year. That was the way I dreamed about it. No, there was none of that from Jimmy. There was none of that from Jimmy this week. His official pushback was the phrase, it is what it is. And again, as we've all learned, it is what it is just friendly speak for it is what it shouldn't be. That's what it is means. I don't like the way it is what the phrase suggests. And Jimmy pushed back just a little bit. And there's a part of me that even wants him to push back more. Like, there's a part of me that wants to see him wave Trey Lance off the field the next time he sees him coming out. And I, you know, is it the right move for a long-term career? I would say no. But there really isn't a right move for your long-term career with the 49ers as things kind of stand. I want to see Jimmy stick his chest out a little bit. I want him to have another really good, why did you draft this guy type of level game where you're talking about this. I mean, I said yesterday, this is where I really, you know, turned into a sports talk radio host. When I said the quote I'm looking for out of Jimmy is simply this: Kyle Shanahan's winning record without me is an embarrassment. You want to move on? Good luck with that. I dare you. That would be a topic on Monday, don't you think, if you said that postgame?
Yeah. Be interesting to see, what do you think the 49ers can get for Garoppolo now that they put him on the trade market?
We're going to be asking that question anyway.
You know what I think, short of that, which I don't think is going to happen, I'd like to see Garoppolo, when they get into red zone situations, just start running quick count so they can't replace him.
Hurry up. All right, guys, hurry up. Hurry up.
All of a sudden, he's like the Chip Kelly of the NFL. He's trying to run a play every 12 and a half seconds.
Yeah. You just ruined our drive because we got caught with 12 men on the field three times, and each time it was the quarterback.
I'll tell you what. I actually think this is perfect, what he said. Because you're right, Damon. Like, and maybe even more so than you being right, that like you want to see a little frostiness from your leader and your quarterback, he wouldn't be the leader and quarterback that he is and has been if he didn't want to be. You know, like the guys who are that good, and Jimmy has been pretty darn good, they want it. And they want the leadership role. And of course it bugs him that he's getting pulled out for the first touchdown of the season. Of course it does. Because if he didn't, he would not be a starting quarterback in the National Football League. So I like a little bit of frostiness, but also I think the answer to your question about the future is, whether it's here or elsewhere, Garoppolo's not doing himself any favors by making it a problem. It's one thing to make it clear you believe you deserve the role. It's another to turn the situation into a problem, because then that affects your future.
Right. Let me just tell you, the Damon Bruce How to Keep a Long Career course usually doesn't include the topic of insubordination. And I know that's what I was just suggesting a little bit there. But yeah, you don't want to be insubordinate. But at the same time, QB1 should let everybody know, none of you are me until you are. And like, I just think that Jimmy going to the dark side could be an interesting thing. I know it would be good for business.
No doubt about that.
Maybe not the Niners business, but our business, sports talk radio business. Woo. Yeah, that
but
would
you know
be
what?
Interesting.
There's always two ways to say a thing, if not more, right? And if after the game they win again and Trey has another six plays or whatever and somebody asks Jimmy about it, you know, are you worried about him replacing you? You don't say Kyle Shanahan's record without me is an embarrassment, but you can say, I'll tell you what, when I'm the starting quarterback, we win a lot of football games, and I don't know that they want to get away from that.
Yeah.
You could say something like that.
Yeah, there's a way to, we've been talking about Shanahan and what he hasn't said about Ayuk. If there's a way to deactivate the bomb, there's also another way to, you know, like set the trigger.
Yeah, it's on a time delay, but it's armed.
It is. It's an armed and operational Death Star. By the way, Kyle Shanahan was talking about Trey Sermon being armed and operational in week two.
I thought he ran the ball better this week in practice. I think that's accurate. You know, that's everyone, as the season starts to get going, you're getting better or worse, and it was good. I thought he got better this week.
There you go. There is no staying the same. You're getting better, you're getting worse. That's the way the world of football works. So
Just get the feeling, though, that, like, Kyle Shanahan says whatever he says about practice purely to support the depth chart he's going to put out on Sunday and having nothing to do with what actually happened on the practice field? Like, it feels totally disconnected to me.
To be honest with you, I think everything he says is geared toward a tactical end that he's already concluded. I mean, he's like every other coach that way. The press conference is, to the extent that it has any value at all, is aimed at his players hearing him. And to the extent that, you know, he's talking about who got snaps and who didn't get snaps. Yeah, I mean, that's why they prep for those things. It's because he doesn't want to say what he saw. He wants to say what he wants to see.
But Shanahan's reputation is not a guy who talks to his players through the media. Like, one of the reasons why players think he is a you know, air quotes, player's coach, is that he's incredibly direct, and you know where you stand. And if Kyle Shanahan were a book, he's never a mystery. You know, you know where you are in his system, in his ideas, and that is, several players have said that about him through several stops in his career as he's coming up the coaching ranks. So for him to be a kind of guy that's like, you know, I talk to my players through the media more than in meetings, I'd be stunned if that were who he's becoming. Because it's not who he's been.
I'm kind of thinking it's more that he talks to guys and says, listen, ignore whatever I say at the press conference. I'm absolutely, it's theater for the public. Because to me, that makes more sense. Like, this is silly, okay? And I have no data to support this whatsoever. There's an unconfirmed, totally unreported by reputable people rumor that Trey Sermon and Brandon Ayuk missed curfew on Saturday night last week, right? I'm sure you guys have seen that rumor floating around. I have no real reason to believe it's true, except that, in a weird way, it makes more sense to me than anything else. Because all the stuff Kyle's saying feels like performative nonsense, and if I see both those guys on the field and involved on Sunday, I understand part of that is Raheem Mostert getting hurt, but there's just no way that guys who were considered a heavy part of the rotation since they joined the squad through the draft suddenly fell dramatically in his estimation last week and are back in good graces this week, unless there's an actual infraction that they were being punished for. Like this whole, well, he got better this week. He didn't get that much better this week. I don't believe you.
Maybe the Greenbriar's magic. Maybe it's just where romance happens.
I saw him getting a beginner's falconry lesson, and I said, a guy with hands like that, he's got to be on my active roster.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's been lying about that from the get. I don't think there's any question, because I think Kyle Shanahan, like every other coach ever, will lie when he has to get to a desired end. And I kind of got the sense all week that he's been kind of rubbing Aiyuk's nose in it, you know, by leaving these little hints, you know, and, you know, whether or not they missed curfew, I don't know. Whether or not they're not practicing as well as Kyle wants them to, I also don't know. But I believe, to the extent that I know football at all, which is minimal, that Trent Sherfield is not as good as Brandon Aiyuk, and Mohamed Sanu is not as good as Brandon Aiyuk, and that Kyle Shanahan basically said, you're getting the first quarter off for infraction X, and then that's it. You know, that's the lesson you get to learn for failing to do this thing or these things that we asked you to do.
Again, there were so few plays in that first quarter that him not hitting the field in the first quarter really isn't the clutch your pearls, hold your breath situation maybe we've made it out to be. And as Brian Baldinger said when he joined us earlier today, you know, what, Trent Sherfield got 28 snaps and Aiyuk had 27. But no targets in any of the routes that he ran. And obviously he's out there for more than just passing plays. He's out there for running plays too. And he's supposed to, and he's a good downfield blocker, which is another odd thing. And he's Mr. Ooh, I'm taking this ball on a jet sweep or a reverse too, which was just odd that he wasn't involved in that either. Maybe Kyle didn't want to show that in week one to give Nick Sirianni something to think about. But he never just said, hey, look, you know, targets are never guaranteed to anybody in a football game because defenses are playing too. Like, he never, ever tried to couch it in any way that didn't seem like, you're right, Ray, there was a rubbing the nose in it element to the entire sense of just how the week played out and then all the opportunity in front of the media in what you'd think was just a little bit more laid back and casual. You know, we're all traveling together this week. All you writers who made the trip, like, I appreciate you being here. I'm going to give you a little extra nugget maybe this week, a little something to use. No, it ended awkward in Detroit. It remained awkward all week, and we will find out whether or not we really got awkward or nothing really to talk about based on what happens on Sunday.
If you had to bet for Sunday, Brandon Aiyuk either, and you have to choose between the two, which is more likely, another game with zero catches for 0 yards or over 100-yard monster output?
Those are the only two choices?
Those are your two choices. Which is more likely?
The 100 yards. Not because they're going to go out of their way to find him, because I don't believe Kyle Shanahan is the sort of guy who, when he puts a guy on the field and thinks he'd be a useful target, just says, don't throw it to him. Because if you're going to do that, you may as well not play him at all.
No, that's throwing a game. That's throwing a game.
My point is, if he plays, and I think he will, and the choices are no targets or 100 yards receiving, I'll take 100 yards receiving and feel comfortable with that.
Right. If those, I'll take it another step further. 5 catches, 65-plus yards, and a touchdown.
Oh, that's a step less. That's less than 100 yards.
I know, but that's what I think
the
real line will actually look like. I think he gets involved. I think they try to get him into the end zone. That touchdown could come with his feet, too, not with his hands. Because
I think they'll target him somewhere between 7 and 10 times. Because I'm assuming that they're going to have 70 plays and they're going to throw the – if things are going well, they'll throw the ball about 30 times.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what else. After the week Debo just had, there's going to be an awful lot of attention on him from the Philadelphia defense. So that could give Aiyuk a chance to go big, I think.
And feed Kittle, which sucks people in, which I think opens up something for Aiyuk as well. I want to ask you guys this. If Trey Lance is the wrinkle that is the thing that other teams are less prepared for or unprepared for, is Trey Lance's effectiveness sort of muted by a team with a running back that has a similar style to what we think his style will be? Like
a quarterback, you mean?
Yes. What did I say?
You said running back.
I'm sorry. Yes. Quarterback. I believe, yes, I'm checking notes. He is a quarterback. Thank you. Is he less effective conceptually against the Eagles because the Eagles got something like him? Are you less inclined to roll him out as your wrinkle for a team that, I don't know, that has an ironing board?
That intimately understands that wrinkle, that has seen that wrinkle every day in practice?
They're practicing.
Let me ask you another question right back at you. Are the Niners better positioned to defend a running quarterback than they have been over the last several years as we've seen them fail now that they have Trey Lance to run the scout team?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, everyone that we've talked to this week has basically said, yeah, that is a tool in Kyle's practice tool belt that he did not have in the past. You know, I even heard Shanahan say that in the past, facing mobile quarterbacks, they would ask Jeff Wilson to take scout team snaps. You know, they were looking to create an element because, you know, C.J. Beathard wasn't coming in there to do that. And I forgot the
other wheels on Nick Mullins were never that impressive.
I forgot the other guy's name. Yeah. So,
I do think that works both ways is the point, right? I don't know if it makes Kyle less inclined to put Trey out there, but it does make Philly more prepared. It has to.
You would think. So D'Amico Ryans talked about that. And Grandy, I said, I know we weren't going to play this cut because we've done it too many times, but here we go. I'm going to call for it now. D'Amico Ryans was talking about Lance on scout team.
Right now with Trey, you know, working with us on scout team, he's gave us the best looks we can ever ask for. And it's very beneficial. We've had it all OTAs, all training camp. Trey is just such a dynamic player. And for us to be able to benefit from the look that he's given us, it's been outstanding.
There you go. Defensive coordinator telling you it is beneficial right there. So I think he can answer the question almost better than us. And D'Amico Ryans isn't in that. I'm lying to the media about this. I think it's apparent. It's totally apparent that that's going to be a benefit. And how much do you take away from the week you put in practice? Well, apparently, according to Kyle Shanahan, it means an awful lot. So we will see. We will see. Guys, do you think that the reason why Brandon didn't get any targets is because he might have said this is Trey Lance's team now and that pissed off Jimmy Garoppolo, Rob in Oakland? Well, first of all, Rob, if you got that audio, send it to us because I haven't heard it yet.
Boy, that's a great question.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's what happened.
I'm surprised you hesitated as long as you did.
Well, I was trying to think of a nicer way to say it.
You didn't want to be like, nah. Nah.
I think I might have gone with
it. It's going to be a no from me, dog.
I might have gone with a simple yet always effective, are you nuts?
The next person said, isn't this why they brought in Josh Johnson to run that scout? They brought in Josh Johnson because he's got pictures of Jed York. I mean, Josh Johnson is the ultimate, bring him in, cut him an NFL practice paycheck, and we'll do that for like a decade.
They brought in Josh Johnson because they are playing Josh Johnson bingo. And he's been at enough places now, and he's still got enough tread on the tire that he could get the last 12 teams he needs to be the first guy ever to play on every team.
Honestly, just Josh Johnson must be the coolest, nicest dude to be around because teams really do just bring him in to like fill a roster spot and hang out with the guys. He must be a hell of a teammate.
He's like the Cole Hamels without the actual success of Cole Hamels being brought in. There was a great article about how Cole Hamels has been Ocean 11-ing his way around Major League Baseball for the better part of 4 or 5 years right now. He just comes in, he robs them blind, doesn't pitch an inning, and goes to the bank. Pretty funny.
Nobody is better at signing a double-digit million contract and then, oh, man, my arm hurts. I'm not going to be able to pitch for you.
Yeah, but I think somebody'd be on to that after about the fifth time. I think Josh Johnson is just the guy who comes in, says, I have no expectations about staying here more than a week. I'm living out of my car anyway. So what the hell? Let's have some fun. He makes a few $1,000 and he moves on to his next thing.
Look, it's not the worst job if you can get it.
No, at some point, though, you stop getting it. I'm presuming he's got a good 401k planned.
Can Josh Johnson stretch this role into his 40s the way Tom Brady has stretched his performance into his 40s? That'll be interesting to watch.
Well, what's the scout team quarterback version of the Super Bowl?
If Josh Johnson can be on scout teams at the age of 50, Brady's going to have to play till he's 60 at that point. Like, no doubt. Since we're just talking a little bit of baseball right here, we should probably bring up the fact that the Giants got themselves nothing short of a massive weekend series against the Atlanta Braves. Ian Anderson, by the way, who's 7-5 with a 3-6-1, takes on the ace of the staff. Let's call it like it is. Logan Webb is 10-3. He's got a 2.80 ERA. And just like the Giants, who got a two-game losing streak, the Braves just dropped two in a row. They're a first-place team that is no great shakes on the road. They're above 500 at 39-32. But this is a big series. And taking two out of three the rest of the way is the only way the West will be won. And two out of three the rest of the way, you got to probably do a little bit better than that. You're going to need to sweep somebody in here along the way because the Dodgers just don't stop coming. I mean, I really think about, you know, how incredibly that here's the difference between the Giants and the Dodgers more than anything else. The Giants have had a perfect year. Other than the injuries that we've seen in their pitching staff at the end here that they're trying to bullpen their way through, and they've done so successfully more often than not, the Giants have had a perfect year and could be flirting with 105, 106, 107 wins. The Dodgers have basically seen it all go wrong, except for their pitching staff, and then they make the big Scherzer, Trey Turner trade. But Mookie Betts isn't who they brought him in to be. Bellinger is essentially just a shadow of a bad minor leaguer, much less a shadow of Cody Bellinger. And without playing anything that even resembles like, oh, it's been a perfect year where everything's gone great, they're on pace for 105, 106, 107 wins. And that's what makes the Los Angeles Dodgers the scariest team in baseball. They're not even playing well, and they're going to kick their feet up and win 103, 4, 5 games.
The other thing that that makes the Dodgers is Bueller on Friday, Scherzer on Saturday, Kershaw on Sunday, and nobody else has that. I mean, even the Braves, who are trotting out Ian Anderson, who's a pretty good pitcher, Charlie Morton, also who's way better than that, and Max Fried, who has been very good, nobody else has that 1-2-3 punch, and that doesn't even account for Julio Urias.
Ian Anderson, also rock and roll's greatest flautist.
I'm not sure about that. I think I might take Chris Wood instead.
What is that? Both in Jethro Tull? Is there something I don't know about?
Ian Anderson is Jethro Tull.
Right. Chris Wood?
Yeah. Was the saxophonist and flautist for Traffic, which was Stevie Winwood's first big band.
Oh, you don't have to tell me about who Traffic was. I just didn't know anyone. I couldn't name anyone in Traffic but Steve Winwood.
Well, now you know too.
I can find my way home. There you go.
Great. Just dropped a Stevie Winwood on us. He knows him personally.
Well, no, that's what he was known as before he aged out and became Steve.
Wasn't he even little Stevie Winwood? Wasn't he like the first guy that had the Lil put on?
No, that would be Stevie Wonder.
Lil Stevie Wonder, okay.
He was little. Right. Did either of you guys watch that Summer of Soul documentary where you got to see like 19-year-old Stevie Wonder at the festival in
No,
in,
that's on the
Harlem?
One. It was on the one service. That, what is it, Hulu? I don't have that,
yep.
So I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, let's talk off air.
Okay. since we're going a little drifting into music here on a Friday afternoon, text line 510 says, explaining why Brandon Ayuk is hard to find. He said maybe he told Kyle, who loves rap and hip-hop, that the new Kanye West album is fire, and that's why he's been doghoused. Is the Kanye West album bad? I don't know. I have not sought it out.
Messy.
I'm not really interested. I'm over. Look at it this way. Kanye and I used to have a relationship. I'm over.
The new Kanye West album is long and messy and has some highlights, is how I would describe it.
So it's like a football season.
Much like a 49er football season, there are ups and downs, a few injuries, but also some really high moments. Also, my friend helped produce one of the songs, so you know I at least like that one song.
Oh, name drop.
Is it because it's a good song, or are you just brand loyalty?
It's hard to say. I mean, I really love my friend, but I think it's a good song, yeah. Come to Life is what it's called.
Okay.
Might have to sample that this weekend, then. I'll let you know what
I think. It's the first single, so that's a good sign.
Oh, there you go. If they're picking it from the first single on a pretty much universally panned album, they're hoping there's something there.
There you go. Yeah, Kanye, what I said to the control room discussing this earlier is I feel like Kanye could use an editor. You know, someone to just sort of pare things down and streamline them.
Like George Lucas when he got back into Star Wars there for a minute. Like, no one, it's obvious George hasn't heard the word no the entire Phantom Menace. Somebody tell him no.
That sort of thing, yes.
Tell Kanye no.
An apt analogy.
Yeah, so you're looking for Todd Rundgren only cool.
Thank you. Wow. I mean, little Toddy Rundgren?
Who used to be great. But he's kind of aged out and bittered up.
Well, aged? Is he even still alive?
Oh yeah, he just declined an opportunity to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Do you respect that?
I do. Screw the Hall of Fame. You don't know who voted for that.
I'll tell you, it's going to be really tough for Fish to figure out what song they're going to go up and play for 35 minutes when they only are given like 7 minutes and told play a medley. That's going to be awkward.
I can't wait.
It'll be good. Okay, so we should probably get back to the fact that Chris Bryant of the San Francisco Giants was talking about how important it is to really dial in down the stretch, and he ain't lying at all. He knows a little bit about playing well down the stretch. 2016 World Series, he was a hero. Chris Bryant talking about the team getting ready for the biggest couple of weeks the Giants have seen in a long time.
It's crazy how you play so many games throughout the year, but you know it always seems to kind of come down to the last couple of weeks when you're kind of fatigued as a team, mentally, physically, you know, and that's when you need to be at your best. So, you know, we just got to come out here ready to go. One game lead, the good Dodger team, Padres, obviously got some really talented people over there. But yeah, just not a terrible series, but not a great series. And just come out tomorrow and get the Braves.
Come out and get the Braves. Starting tonight at 24 Willie Mays Plaza. The scoreboard watching, like we said, between the Giants and the Dodgers is just going to be fantastic. These two teams have mirror for mirror on and off days for the rest of this. The Monday is off for both teams, and then the following Monday is an off day for the both teams. Otherwise, in the next 16 games, or excuse me, in the next 16 days, we're going to have one of the best stretches that anyone can remember around here. And it's going to be an awful lot of fun. What's at stake, by the way? Each week we discuss what's at stake for the Giants. And this weekend it is brought to you by Harris Ranch Beef. And here's what's at stake. Your chances to be a world champion. Would you like anything more than that to be what's at stake for you? I really think that the difference between the Giants winning the National League West or being a wild card team is as big of a it's the fork in the road of playoff participant or a real shot to be the world champion. I don't think that the Giants can wild card their way to another World Series. I just don't think that they have that many magic levers left to pull. I mean, they're probably bullpenning their way through a playoff game for sure. Obviously, it wouldn't be that first game, you know, the wild card game. But I think it's that crucial. It was really, really that crucial. So here's what's at stake. Win a lot of baseball games if you want to win the West. And if you don't win the West, I don't think you win the World Series. That's what's at stake. Brought to you by Harris Ranch. Legendary beef, legendary quality. Shop at harrisranchbeef.com.
Well, there's one other thing. If they win the division, there is at least a slightly better than crappy chance they could avoid the Dodgers entirely. Whereas if they're the wild card team, they have no choice. And I think avoiding the Dodgers is a good idea for any team.
Is that true that there's no way they could avoid the Dodge? So I guess, yeah, because the winner would play the best team. It really, it makes you think maybe they should redesign this system, because it doesn't, and I guess for good reason, but it clearly doesn't expect the two best teams in baseball to be in the same division.
No, I think this has caught baseball a little bit by surprise. In fact, I was reading Anthony Kastrovitz of MLB.com the other day, and he was laying out playoff scenarios, and I was amused to find out that they have never considered the possibility that there could be a five-way tie for a wild card team, and yet both leagues could do that this year. So it's been a year where a lot of things you wouldn't expect have happened, and I suspect that a lot of things you wouldn't expect are going to happen some more.
Wouldn't it be apropos for the San Francisco Giants to come in with a win total so extravagant yet not rewarded properly in the postseason, they changed the rules again? Because that's what happened. Yep. When they won 103 games, they're like, oh, okay, we're going to go ahead and give you a wild card now. Wouldn't it be something else if the Giants had that kind of happen again, and they're like, well, we're going to start reseeding who might play. You know, like, no wild card can come from the same division, which would totally screw over another division winner.
Yeah, I don't think they would do that. What they would probably do is just expand the playoffs. Because I don't think we're very far from the moment where Rob Manfred rises up on his haunches and says, I know eight teams. And then you can jerry-rig any system you want.
And so you're getting rid of the wild card, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're adding three teams that will look like the Mets.
I guess you're right.
They're not giving away a wild card. I mean, they got a brand new baseball deal because of the second wild card and the interest that it's generating in the postseason. So,
better if it was just a playoff team, though, instead of a wild card? Like, you just got a full series for that.
Well, that's what I would like to see them go away from the, let's just go right to game seven.
You know, but don't you think they have to add a team to do that? Because you can't have the two best teams or three best teams in baseball in the league just friggin' sitting around for a week and a half.
Yeah, I guess.
Or maybe you can. I don't know.
It's also an awful lot of rest, and nobody's got any excuses. And if you come in rusty, your practices sucked. So, you know, like.
Well, yeah. And that's why eight games is the only real logical solution, because in eight that teams, way, there isn't a team that ends up with 6 days rest.
Yeah. Maybe.
And it's also more than six days rest. The only thing that would prevent baseball from going to eight teams is if they couldn't sell the package. And they have some trouble selling the first round of the playoffs now, you know, not for the money that they want. So I think that's probably where Manfred's going to take this, which is way more games, and then say, well, now everybody has an equal chance, in which case, you know, winning 105 games in the regular season means even less.
I just have to read this text, because I never thought I would read a text like this on a sports talk radio show, but here we are. It's been a strange couple of minutes, so... Fun fact about Todd Rundgren, his son Rex played baseball at College of Marin and later minor league baseball and reached as high as AAA. I did not fact check that, but okay.
It's more, sure. More of a fun fact about Rex Rundgren than Todd Rundgren, but fair enough.
It really is.
I just couldn't see Todd Rundgren being like the juice box parent at the end of the day. Yes, he played with Florida, the Dodgers, and Colorado systems.
How about that?
Some really good Rex and Todd photographs here on the internet.
Yep. That's he played good. Nine seasons of minor league baseball. He played in Vegas for the Dodgers.
What do you think is worse for the show, talking about Todd Rundgren's minor league kid or telling you about the pictures that you can't see on the radio?
I'll put it to you this way.
I wasn't going to talk about Todd Rundgren's kid, except that one of the text line lunatics put it out there.
It did get brought up.
It's their fault, and it's your fault for reading it.
I'll give
important
you that
context here. Not only does he have Rex, the baseball player, he also has a son named Rebop. And if y'all want to feel your age, Rex Rundgren is 40 years old.
Stop interacting with these lunatics.
Rebop?
That's all I need to know. That made the show for me.
R-E-B-O-P. I mean,
if you're naming one of your kids, Rebop, you are handing out Capri Suns at a Little League game. Like you are that right. guy.
Oh no! If you named your kid Rebop, you are sitting in your car behind the outfield wall getting high.
Well,
that too.
Probably just right in the bleachers. It's Todd Rundgren, after all. So look,
he doesn't have to go behind anything.
We have one segment left in the show, which is probably good news. But I do have a little something that we really are not going to talk much about now. It's going to be like a preview of one of those other things that we're going to talk about next week. I think it's very, very interesting, and it might be the solution that Major League Baseball is looking for. And predictions for Niners in Philadelphia. We get that on our way out the door here on 95.7 The Game. And don't forget, Monday at 6 and 7 p.m., between 6 and 7 p.m. I thought this was going to be the Disneyland read for the morning show, but then I went a little bit further. This is, first of all, listen to the morning show. It's awesome. Bonte and Shasky are absolutely crushing it. Also, Monday nights, to perfectly recap everything that happened in your NFL Sunday, tune in every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. for the Football Hour with our friends Sean Salisbury and Lorenzo Neal. It's a jam-packed hour of football from two former NFL players, two great guys, presented by Livermore Casino, located on 1st Street in Livermore, offering Vegas-style blackjack, three-card poker, baccarat, and Texas Hold'em. The Tri-Valley's place to play in downtown Livermore. Of course, play responsibly. We're back for one more moment here on 95.7 The Game. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, and it's almost Friday, baby.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Well, it's about all the time we got this week. We got an unbelievable weekend. I mean, really big weekend. Week two of the NFL got off to a rousing start. I mean, there's a reason why this league just has us all wrapped around its finger. We care. We play fantasy. We like our teams in reality. So we got the NFL coming and going. And whenever the NFL is on the main stage, usually give you a hell of a show. I mean, really. Four primetime games so far this year. Three of them have been decided on the very last play of the game. Washington last night wins on a walk-off field goal. You had the bonkers game with the Raiders on Monday night. And, of course, Tom Brady marching down to win on opening night on Thursday Night Football was a hell of a way to start the year. And we'll see what we got waiting for us all the way around. Prediction time. Do we think the 49ers are coming home 2-0? I do. Let me just start. I do think they're coming home 2-0. And I think they're going to find a way to make Jalen Hurts look like he is in his sixth NFL game as a starter. And it's up to Nick Bosa and Eric Armstead and Fred Warner to earn their paychecks this week. And I want an awful lot of George Kittle involved in this game. No, just no messing around. Play it like it's a Super Bowl. Get George Kittle the MVP of this game.
I don't think that will be necessary. I think they'll cover, but they won't go over the total. I think that I think the Eagles got to beat a really bad team last week. But I think there are holes that you can't paper over in one game. So I think there's still a work in progress, and I think this is a week of regress.
But a win.
For the 49ers. Yeah, I said they'd cover.
Okay.
So, yes, they'll bet on it. That's the only reason to have football is to bet on it.
What is the regression that you're expecting then?
From the Eagles?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I thought you were saying the Niners were going to regress. Yeah.
I think the 49ers will probably have a better sense of keeping the foot down on the pedal. And I think the Eagles are less than they showed against a really bad Atlanta team.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm looking at. Both teams played bad teams last week. So, you know, there's a degree to which we don't know exactly what either of them are right now. But there is more about the Niners that feels established to me, as opposed to the Eagles, who really all we have to go off with this team is one game against a bad football team.
One of the things that we are going to get into next week, Jason Stark of The Athletic, because we're going to be covering baseball through the month of September like we haven't around these parts in a really long time. Jason Stark was writing about how what used to be known as the California League, now Low A West League, is officially doing everything it can to speed up its game time just by instituting a 15-second pitch clock in the month of June. As a result, the league has cut an estimated 21 minutes out of game time. Jason Stark said that he went to a Stockton Ports San Jose Giants game, and it started a little after 6:30 p.m. The game was over at 8:47. Do you know how many 9-inning major league games have been in 2 hours and 13 minutes this year? In less than that?
9-inning games?
I would guess zero.
I bet 12.
Two games have come in under 2 hours and 13 minutes this year out of more than 2,000 major league games played. As a matter of fact, the time of major league games, which they've said is something that they're working hard on, it's going up.
Yeah.
It's going up right now. Just when Jay Johnson is pitching for the Giants.
The average time of game, even allowing for 7-inning doubleheader games, is 3:10. It's never been that high.
Right.
And that's without 17-inning games, too. Sorry.
So here's the thing. Minor league games were already shorter, right? And some of that is commercial breaks. But undoubtedly, I would guess that some of that is that their pitchers were probably already, on average, operating faster. Because in general, I think umpires probably just deal with less BS from minor league pitchers than from major league pitchers. And all of that time you cut out is time where literally nothing is happening on the baseball field. Because we've talked about this before. It's not just time of game. It's not just purely shortening time of game. It's getting rid of some of the moments where literally nothing is happening. And so pitch clocks, batters having to stay in the box, all that stuff that cuts away from time where it's just nothing worth watching, that's what baseball needs to work on.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly people will work when there isn't somebody standing there going, no, you have to take more time because we have commercials to get. When it's your time and your time only, yeah, you'll find a way to play a game in 2 hours and 21 minutes. Hell yes, you will.
Ray, it's your favorite time of the day because it's time to go home.
Hell yes.
Enjoy yourself on a Friday afternoon. Everybody get home safe and sound and be right back here on Monday afternoon so we can talk about everything that happened this weekend. Really appreciate you checking in. Thank you so much. Back to the studio. Great stuff all week long, especially with us operating with Cole. Who would have ever thought that Ray Ratto had the healthiest immune system on this show? Kolsky's been sick all week. I've been sick all week. Ray, healthy as an ox for some reason. We can't explain anything.
No germ lives in this ambulatory vomitorium.
And on that note, thanks to Adam Amin, thanks to Pat Forty, Brian Baldinger, John Kincaid, Lucas, Grandy Maldonado back in the studio. Again, great stuff with a lot of moving parts this week. Really appreciate it. I hope we'll all be back in studio healthy on Monday. Until then, please do remember that sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Weeknd.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.